I am frequently amazed at the wisdom of Jesus. Okay? I mean, I read all kinds of books all the time, and I discover that people have discovered as theirs what Jesus knew. Okay? Now, today's sermon is a little strange, because what I want to talk to you about today is Jesus' method for training volunteers. Okay? Now, Lee, you're going to love this one because it's right up your alley. And he's read all the books about training volunteers and taught trainers of volunteers and all kinds of people how to do it. But Jesus has this really good training method. Okay? And I just want to outline it for you as we go through the discussion of the text today. Are you ready? The first thing that Jesus did when he called a volunteer was tell them what he expected them to do. He said to them, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Remember? Okay, so the first thing he did was make it really clear what job it was he expected the volunteer to do. Second thing he did was show them how to do what he wanted them to do. So, if you read the scripture, after he says, I'm going to make you fishers of men, you discover that Jesus takes them from place to place. And while they are going, he is healing and casting out demons and preaching the good news of the kingdom, and they watch. Okay? And then next, he told them again what he expected them to do. Go to Luke chapter 6, and you look at what's happening there. It says he called the 12. Means he says to him, okay, now I told you what I wanted you to do. I showed you how to do it. Do you want to do it? Okay, he calls them then to become the apostles. Got it? So he tells them again what he expects. And then guess what he does? He shows them once again what he wants them to do. So for all of the chapters until this one, from chapter 12, Jesus has been moving about, casting out demons. We've been reading about it, healing the sick and preaching the good news of the kingdom. He's showing them how to do what he expects them to do. Okay? Mm-hmm. He has now brought them to the crucial moment in time. It is time for them to do what he expects them to do and has demonstrated to them how to do themselves. It is the scary moment. But before he can release the 12 on the world to try their wings on their own, there is one more crucial thing he must do. And in the text read to you today, he does it. He gives them what they need to do the job he expects them to do, power and authority. The 12, though called, and knowing what it is that Jesus wants from them, having seen and heard him do it with their own eyes and their own ears, are not ready to do what it is he wants them to do until they receive the power and authority to accomplish it. So, Jesus gives them power and authority to drive out demons, to cure diseases, to preach the good news, to do what he has done. Now the point so far, point, teaching point, get this down, write it on your hand, put it in your notes, write it on the back of the bulletin, put it somewhere, don't forget it, teaching point. Jesus does not call the qualified. Jesus qualifies the called. Look at the 12. None of them went to college. Not a single PhD in the group. None of them rich men. None of them impressive men. Not one that anybody ever noticed before Jesus called them. They are totally and completely unqualified. And Jesus takes that bunch and gives them what they need to do the job he wants them to do. He qualifies them. Okay, now, when I was studying all this stuff that I've studied through years, one of the things that one of the crucial things, we get the right people on the bus and the wrong people off the bus so that the bus could do what the bus needs to do. In other words, we got to get the team together to play right, and that's all part of it. Sometimes the people who are most qualified are not qualified at all because they can't really be part of the team. You ever notice? Sometimes what you need are willing people, not necessarily qualified people. And what we discover in the scriptures is that Jesus always picks those who are willing. He seems to see through all the stuff nobody else can see through. And he qualifies them to do it. Are you ready for this? I'm going to bring it down now. I'm going to bring it right here. If Jesus has something for you to do, ready for this? It's not an if. He does. Okay? So Jesus has a ministry for you, something he wants you, maybe he wants you to be the family that feeds the homeless at the Atkinson shelter in October and May. He's got something he wants you to do. And if he has something he wants you to do, and he does, he will give you everything that you need in order to do what it is that he wants you to do. Now, your little head is going to say, oh, no, he won't. But yes, he will. Trust me. Okay, sometimes it's even dangerous to ask him to do it. Because you may not know what you're getting into. But if you're the one that he picks, he will qualify you to do the job he's called you to do. So now, having given them power and authority, the power and authority they need to do what it is he wants them to do, Jesus turns them loose. He sent them out to do it. Now, I just need to preach a little bit here because this is a scary moment. Okay? Oh boy, is it a scary moment for the leader? If you're human, I mean, Jesus knew. Okay? Man, is it hard to trust you guys with ministry. I can do it better. I know I can because I'm qualified. Okay? I got all the credentials in order, they are superlative. Okay? But it's hard to let people do what it is that God's calling them to do. You ever feel that way about your own kids, guys, parents? Okay? Ever feel that you don't want to trust people with ministry that they're being called to do? But you got to let them go. If you don't let them go, they never fly. They never fly. And boy, is it scary if you are the bird. Okay, you know, it's been safe in that nest. It's fun watching Jesus do it, wasn't it? Oh, man, there was no responsibility. He took care of everything. But now he says to me, fly. Mm-hmm. It's a scary moment. But Jesus has a way of making scary moments worse. Be prepared for it. He says, fly, birdies. And then he says to them, as he releases them on the world for the first time in human history, he says, take no staff, no suitcase, no food, no money, not even an extra jacket. Travel light. He says to them, when you get where you're going, accept the lodging they offer. Can I tell you this one bothers me? Because I want my room clean, pressed. I want my own bathroom. I don't want to share a bed. None of that. Okay. No, take what they give you. The point of what Jesus is saying to his disciples is that they are not to limit their expectations according to their supply. They were to be entirely dependent on God. They were to trust God to supply their every need. They were to be utterly and entirely, totally and without exception in God's care. Fly, birdies. And don't worry about anything. I'll take care of it all. Do you know what limits ministry the most for us? What we can afford. I can remember, it's not my notes, but I can remember when I came back, how many years ago was it now, from the trip I made to find out what the future of the church was. Okay, I can remember putting together a group of persons with whom I wanted to share the future called the Feasibility Committee. And their job was to determine whether God's plan for our future was feasible. That's God-dependent, man. Mm. Basically, what I said to them is, can we afford to do what God wants us to do? And you know what they said? No. See, what limits us is our pocketbook. We look at it and we say, I can't afford that. We can't afford it. We can't do that because we don't have the resources. Our resources are too limited. And so rather than trust God, we curtail our vision. To put it bluntly, the church as I have known it all of my life is more dependent upon the church than it is upon God. But Jesus not only qualifies the called, he promises to supply our every need. He does it so we can soar, so we can fly, so we can cast out demons and hear diseases and heal diseases and preach the good news of the kingdom of God, provided we bring ourselves to the place where we are willing to trust him. This part I like. He also made it clear to them that they were not responsible for the outcome. They only needed to be concerned with what he had called them to do. Effectiveness was not the issue. Obedience was the issue. If God's asking them to do it, the people they went to received what they were offering, they were to give it until they were finished teaching. If indeed they didn't want what they had to offer, they were to shake the dust off their feet and leave town. You know why? Because the disciples were not responsible for the outcome of the ministry. That's the Holy Spirit's job. He uses what we offer, like the gifts of the kids in the letter, to touch thousands beyond our imagination if we just trust him. Your job's not to be successful in the kingdom of God. Your job is to be faithful to the task Jesus has called you to do. And to know in your own spirit that the Holy Spirit will take care of the outcome. You just do it. Just be faithful to your calling in Jesus Christ. And he will bring to completion the good thing he has begun in you. It's the promise of Scripture. So, given all that, he sent them out to do what they saw him do. For the first time in history, the disciples of Jesus Christ, the church, was released upon the world, set free by God to do what God called them to do. The church was set free to make disciples. And folks, it worked. It worked. The Holy Spirit was faithful. God supplied their needs. They were surprised. The power and authority was actually theirs. They could do the things that Jesus did. It worked. And news of what was happening worked its way through the community until it reached the ears of the governor himself. Herod heard. Something happening over there. Something going on over there. Got him so afraid, he thought John the Baptist had come back from the dead. And when he realized that wasn't what was going on, you know what he wanted to do? He wanted to talk to Jesus because it worked. So what are the lessons? What do we learn? Well, number one, Jesus is calling you and me. He is calling the whole church to make disciples. I love the way the text is written. You've heard me do this before. When I was growing up as a kid, I used to say that it was go all the time. Go and make disciples. And the emphasis is on the word go. It's not on the word go. It's on the word make disciples. The word going is not a command. It is a participle. Going, make disciples. What he's saying to you and me is the same thing he said when he called the 12. While you're going out there in the world, make a few disciples. Okay? He's not asking us to go anywhere special. He's not asking us to do anything special. He's just asking us to be attentive to making disciples as we do what we normally do. Do you know how wonderful that is? I'll tell you a story. Okay, we got time. I went to a family funeral this week, Thursday. My aunt died. She's 91 years old. Okay, and she had been sick for a long time, and it was not a sad thing to go to my aunt's funeral because she had been released. She's gone home. And I went looking forward to seeing my cousins. I haven't seen them since the last funeral, you know. And I like to see my cousins, and we have a good time. And I got there, and I was really surprised because half of my cousins were not at the funeral. Okay, and I thought, okay, they're coming. Okay, but they never showed up. And I said to my sister, who was sitting next to me, and by the way, I haven't seen my sister for a long time, and talking to my sister was wonderful. Talked to my sister, and I said, you know, why aren't they here? And she looked at me with this really strange look, and she says, don't you know? And I said, no, what should I know? She says, they haven't spoken to Uncle John for 35 years because he married Aunt Gladys. Okay, now it's an involved story. My Uncle John was married to my Aunt Mary. Aunt Gladys was my Aunt Mary's sister. After my Aunt Mary died, my Uncle John married my Aunt Gladys, and some of my cousins did not approve. For 35 years! They did not approve. It really grieves my soul. Okay, it grieves my soul for two reasons. I didn't know for 35 years they were mad at Uncle John. Okay, it's like, live in a cloud, Chuck. Okay, I didn't know that. Okay, what really breaks my heart is people do that. Okay? You ain't going to make no disciples unless you listen and follow the example of Jesus. Unless you do what Jesus said. Do you know what Jesus did for you? He forgave you. He died to forgive you. How dare you be mad at Uncle John because he married Aunt Gladys? And how come you can't celebrate Aunt Gladys' life? Because she touched them like she touched me when I was a little boy. She used to make me peanut butter and dill pickle sandwiches. Mm. Yeah, you should try them. Yeah, try it. Particularly if you're pregnant, it's really good. Okay, here's the issue. You with me? Okay, the persons he wants us to go to are the members of our own family. Because we go amongst them and we're supposed to be, and if you're sitting here today and you're holding a grudge against your family, give it up. It is not worth it. You're not doing what Jesus asked you to do. Trust him, and he'll make it better. You know the people you work with? Some of them you can't stand. They're the people you're supposed to be trying to turn into disciples. And the only way you can do that is by showing them Jesus in your life. You know the people you play with at the swimming pool or at the community park or you ride your motorcycle with them? They're the people. That's the method. Going, as you do the things you do, show them Jesus. And he has given you the power and authority to do it if you'll just take it. Well, you sit there saying, oh, I'm like Uncle John. I'm not going to have anything to do with him for 35 years. You have denied the power and authority of the example of Jesus. He gave it to you. That's what he wants you to do. It's what he's calling you to do. Make disciples among the people who are around you. As you go out into the world, as you are with people, make disciples. And lesson number two, Jesus does not call the qualified. If you think you are ready to deal with the world, think again. Because you're going to go out there and you're going to run into some stupid donkey. Using the biblical term in my mind. And they are going to stand in your way and they are going to make your life difficult. And you're going to get angry at them because they won't do it your way. You can probably think of who they are. Okay? You can't love them because it's not in you to love. You can't bring you to forgive them because it's not in you to forgive. But if you trust Jesus Christ, he will qualify you. He'll make it possible for you to do the very thing you don't think you can do. Yes, he will. And number three, he will give you everything you need to do what he asks you to do if you trust him and lean not on your own understanding, your own ability, or your own supply. But we do limit ourselves, don't we? I just don't have enough to do it, Jesus. And it doesn't have to be money or things. Okay? He can ask us to step beyond our safety zone, our comfort zone, and to do something that we just don't really feel comfortable doing. But if you do it, he'll supply what you need to do the task. Lesson number four, if we do what he asks us to do, leaning entirely upon him, the news, the good news, will reach all nations, all peoples, all tongues, even the ones we can't speak, even the members of our own families. I have lived my life in the midst of a weakened church. We do not expect to reach the world around us with the good news of Jesus Christ. But we should. Should. The method that Jesus used works. In fact, lesson number five, Jesus' training method is still the best. So those of you who have young children at home, tell them what you want of them. Show them by example what you expect. Tell them again what you want. And show them again how to do what you expect them to do. Give them the power and authority they need. Let them feel your confidence and your trust in them. And step back and let them fly. they fall on their faces, pick them up. Tell them what you expect. Show them again and let them fly. Do it until they soar. You got a bunch of dummies who work for you? Try Jesus' training method. You'll discover that it is still the best.